Beast Control too?
I have, yeah, definitely.
This is sludge news.
It's a little different, this one, than the troll film. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess the kind of, if we're going there, let's start with, you guys first met on Here Comes Rusty. Mm-hmm. How did y'all connect through that? Were you just a fan of George?
Yeah, I was a fan of George. I saw Best Worst Movie. he was just such a nice guy. We're laughing, and just, I just wanted to work with him. I was like, wow. He ended up living in Alabama, which was totally a fluke thing. We were shooting there, so we reached out to him on Facebook, and George, this random Alabama number called me, and I answered because I didn't, you know, I had calls going from shooting there, and I answered, and I mean, I talked to you for 3 hours on the phone.
Yeah, long time.
And my whole life story went through, you know, when you think the conversation is going to end with a normal person, George takes a step, and then it keeps going. But time flies when you're talking to George, and so that's that was awesome. Yeah, so really happy that we got to work together in there. Mm-hmm.
And then as far as this, I mean, when was it you and Jamil, Gus, and Andy kind of coming up with the story? Did it start out as a short and y'all expanded, or was it a proof of concept where you did the short first just to kind of prove?
Yeah, the feature was written before, and then we did the short film, like took 10 pages out of the feature. And we said, okay, let's try to do this. It's a proof of concept, exactly what we did, to show people what we were trying to do, to ask people, to ask investors, like, look them in the eye and say, this is our film. This is what we're trying to do. This is George Harvey. You're like, why would you want George? You see him on screen. He's great. He looks great. He sounds great. He's great. So that was the big push with the short film, and it worked out really well.
George, what did you like about the script?
Wow, that's a great question. Well, first of all, just that it was tight. And, you know, the script was, they had, like you said, four people writing the script. So, you know, you could tell it was clean when you read it. And because it had changed several times, you know, it went from a short to a lot much longer script to where it is now. And I think just the character development was what I liked the most about it.
Yeah. I kind of I love the expansive nature of it. It's not just in one town. You guys get to kind of jump out. When did you guys decide on locations, and how did that all happen? Because, like, I love the stuff at the cathedral when you're by yourself and he's like, oh, what the hell's going on? And then you get shot at. I love those sequences. How did you guys find your locations?
A lot of us just kind of going on a whim and just driving to towns. We just went to small towns and tried to find the perfect one. Initially, we were going to shoot north of Austin, and we were like, okay, we can make it work. It would never really felt right. But when we went to La Costa, we were with the San Antonio Film Commission. They showed us all these amazing locations. We went to the Hall of Records. Leticia Vosick, who's the city clerk, I think we rolled up to her place, and she was like, oh yeah, come in, and just showed us everything. She was pulling out letters from Santa Ana. I mean, it was insane. So we were, okay, do we want to shoot here? Yes. And then La Costa was perfect. It was the exact same way as San Antonio. The person who's running the city, George Salzman, runs the city hall there, and he showed us around, and he's like, oh, do you want to see the bar? It's next door. It's a city hall here across the street, and Jerry Reno owns the house right there. And so, I mean, the whole shoot was like, stand on the train track, we're going to shoot there, we're going to shoot there, we're going to shoot there, we're going to shoot there. So it was just a 360 stand in a circle shooting. It was great. It was perfect.
Awesome. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. As far as getting to round up the cast, Tyler, tell me a bit about getting Gene, Alexa, and all those crew. And then, George, I'd love to know, I love the dinner sequence, especially with you and Gene. And then also working with Alexa and the other folks, like, what was it like working off of them?
The process for casting was, you know, first, when you call people, like, do you know George Hardy? If they know George, great. They're going to love it. They're going to be in for it. Tiffany, she was so excited to work with George. Lou Temple, they knew each other, actually, both.
From another film.
Yeah, both from another film, and they knew each other, and Lou helped a lot with the casting, too. So he helped us find, like, Tiffany and Jason and things like that. And so it was really like, okay, here are the people. You talk to them, you make them get on the film, because Lou can't say, you know, you have to work on this film. So talking to Tiffany, she was great. We wanted her really, of course we wanted her. She did a great job in the film. And then she loved George. and that's her, you know, that's her type of film, that's her thing, and she wanted to break out of a horror role and do this. So it was great for her. And I mean, what do you think? I think she did great.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think Lou was great.
Yeah,
Lou
was awesome. Oh my
gosh, yeah. He really was.
And Gene was us calling him. So we wanted Gene. We thought he was great for the chief. So we just called him up, and he actually answered the phone when I called, and I didn't know. I thought it was his agent. And he was like, hello. And I'm like, I was like, can I speak to Gene Jones' agent? And he was like, 1 second. And hands the phone off to his agent. You know, and so he told me that when he got to set. He was like, yeah, I'm actually the one who answered the phone. But the nicest guy. The nicest guy. He loved the script. He said there's no romance. There's no BS. It's just plot, 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 plot. And that's really why he liked it. Gene's own. He's a class act.
Absolutely.
All cast. What was it like you... Because, I mean, you... Speaking of that plot, you carry us basically through the whole thing perfectly.
Thank you.
What was it like working off the different acting groups? And I love that scene with you and Gene.
I know. That's why I mentioned character development in the film of the script, because they're, you know, each character is so beautifully developed in the film. And working with Gene was just, you know, as a amateur actor, well, you know, to work with a true professional is what I want to say. With all of them, they taught me so much, but to work with Gene, like Tyler said, he's a class act. And, you know, just I had shot 5 days straight by myself in the film until Gene came in. He was the first person, he and Terry, who's a Broadway actress, play actress. Yeah, sorry.
Theater.
She's done some. But, and so has Gene. Gene's been on Broadway. And to work with them, both professional actors, with both of them being professional, it was really amazing. It took me about a few hours to calm down. I was so nervous I couldn't get my lines down. You know, Gene would go back on the back porch, and I thought he was worried about working with me. But what's true is later I found out at night, having a little scotch with him, that truly Gene says, George, it was all about me. I was wanting to land it, and nail it too. So just watching him, you know, I learned so much about myself with him, and you know, it just gave you the true essence of what it's like to work with a true professional. And I just learned so much about myself from being with him and the safety that he created.
Yeah, one thing about the cast is that every single cast member wanted to be there for the lines, even if it was on the phone. You know, they wanted to read lines with everybody, so they were very supportive to everybody on the team. Mm-hmm. And that's like all you can ask for in a cast. You know, I've been on movies where cast, they really don't give a shit. Just walk away.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna go get cracked.
But that's my favorite scene too in the film. Working with him straight one-on-one.
It's one of the few scenes without the cowboy hat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I wanna ask, hats are important. How long did it take to find that particular white hat? And I mean, I think anyone outside of the state may not realize it's important to have a good Texas hat.
Mm-hmm. So that was me and my mom going to the Austin Antique Mall. Shout out to them. We were, for the short film, we went and we're looking up some wardrobe. Do you know this story?
No, I don't. This is new.
Yeah. And we're looking at the hats, and I knew your size, and my mom was like, that hat. And I was like, yeah, that's the hat. And that's it. And that's the one. I carried on from the short film to the feature, and man, it's banged up right now.
Yeah.
It is banged up.
Tyler's mom with the hat choice.
That's right. Thanks, Mom.
So I'm kind of curious, as far as, since it sounds like location was so great, what was the toughest part of the shoot then?
The whole thing was incredibly tough. It was very tough. It was just being a low-budget film. There were trains that went by every 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but without the San Antonio Film Commission, without the city of San Antonio, without the people and the cost reaching out, helping us out, we had Mike Berger, who runs an auto shop in La Costa. He gave us like multiple cars for the film. He owns the mayor's car, he owns the security car, he gave us so many cars for the film. And he was just like, yeah, just take it. That's what he kept saying. I was like, what, do you want us to sign anything? No, we trust you. That's really cool. I mean, he gave us those cars for like 4 weeks.
Yeah. And it was cool with the chase scene and everything like that.
Yeah, too. I mean, he came out, he brought it out to the corn maze, which was like an hour away. I mean, just amazing people.
Yeah, and the police force letting us cross using their cars.
Yeah, that too.
Wow.
Yeah,
the police were awesome.
Got to drive cop cars for a month.
And we shot in their police office.
Yeah,
like everything is totally authentic. All the places, the jails, the real jail that they used until like the 80s or 70s.
The Hall of Records in San Antonio, never been shot in before, ever.
If you think it's fake, it's not. It's real.
It's real. It's real. Wow. Such a massive building. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
That's crazy. I didn't think it was all. I thought y'all, especially not the cop cars. I was like, pretty nice, but
it's a real one.
It's a real one.
It's crazy to think about. Yeah, everything is real in the film.
Yeah.
As far as with sound design, work is your composer Sam Lipman?
Yes.
What was it like? Because you guys worked together.
First time. He is incredible.
Tell me a bit about that, because there was so much more music composition in the movie than I anticipated, and it helps the flow, especially the movement sequence with George. There's a lot of, whenever he leaves, there's a whole kind of George's song, his like let's go find him type theme to it. Can you talk a bit about that?
So Sam always wanted a theme. He was like, I want people to walk out of the theater humming the tune. And I laughed. I was like, come on, Sam. I was like, come on, man. After he played it the first time, I was leaving, walking in my car doing it. And I called him right after. I was like, wow, that's real. It worked. And I mean, that guy just, I'd give him a note. He would nail it and make it better. I mean, everything he did, I think it was just, he's the real deal. He's an amazing composer.
I think George, you should have like a radio player with you at all times as it follows you.
Cool. Now I get teary-eyed thinking about Sam working and working with Tyler, and then how he brought all the other artists in from Yellow Dog and Studios in Wembley, Texas.
For the songs.
Yeah. But Sam's work was amazing. He's had tie-ins so with the Austin Symphony Orchestra. And
he's just so talented.
He teaches film composition at University of Texas. And
I mean, we would spitball ideas back and forth, and we're like, what do you think about some like kind of like rocky sounds in the back? And say, like, oh yeah, let's do that. So we'd walk in the other room and take drumsticks and like hit wood, and he's like, yeah, just give me a couple different ones, and he put it in there. I mean, really cool, like sound effects.
No synthesized sounds. It's all orchestral. Wow, sounds.
Yeah. What was yesterday's experience like with the
It was awesome. It was great.
Yeah,
audience reacted the entire film.
It was surreal to watch.
Laughs, jumps. I mean, it was the total, like everything you could ever ask for a screening.
Yeah. Was it cool to kind of do it at the Rollins, and then afterwards you guys leave and there's the city, and it's like, I love leaving the Rollins. It's kind of an experience.
I like that theater. Yeah.
It's a beautiful.
The black box theater without exit signs lit.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Whenever the lights go down, it's really dark.
You're right. Yeah.
Was there anything in the Q&A that, kind of hit you guys as far as questions that you were impressed with the audience there? I mean, AFF seems to bring out some really good film goers. Is there anything that kind of stood out, or even in just the conversation you had with, I forget who was moderating.
Oh, Richard?
Yeah.
Yeah, Richard was great. Oh, I love Richard.
Yeah.
Richard is an amazing writer, great talker, great accent.
Yeah.
Richard, talking to him, he had some great things to say,
too. But there were nice questions asked.
Great questions.
Last night.
I think the intimate stuff after was my favorite, because you're talking to people one-on-one, so it's more real. We met so many good people after the film. Just really nice things. One of the things I like a lot is that everybody has a favorite, like everybody has a different favorite character, which is cool. And then everybody says different scenes that they like, which... if everybody said the same scene, it would be kind of okay. Yeah. But just little things that people catch, because there's a lot of detail in the film. What do you think? Replay value? There's some in there?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because you see so many films today with huge budgets from $40 to $200 million, and
that's how much. $200 million.
Briefly, I just say, you wake up the next morning and you forget you even went to the movies the night before. You don't even remember going to the film. And I think this is one of those type of films that you wake up the next morning or two or three days later, you go back and think about the film. It's one of those. That's amazing that happened, and the twist in that was amazing. But why did that happen? Oh yeah, that happened because of that. And, you know, why did the guy blow up? And, you know, what was that all about? And then, oh yeah, he said about the, you know, the vest and all.
Was it? It was different for me watching it with the crowd. Like, was it for you?
Yes, it was. Yeah. It really was. Yeah. And, oh, wow. And there were parts like last night that were really funny that I never thought would be funny. You know, in the film, I'm sure a lot of filmmakers realize that once the audience sees it. But there were some real chuckles at times that I thought that I never thought that would be that funny, and it was. You know, very subtle comedy. Yeah.
This will be last question.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get a fun one then, because I love that y'all covered the mystery part of it and how well it is constructed. You don't see anything coming, which I love. But
thank you.
Salisbury steak pops up throughout this movie. You force George to eat it like 3 or 4 times. What's up with Salisbury steak?
Are you talking about the diner?
Yeah.
Okay, so that is a fried banana.
Really?
Yeah.
What was that like? That must
have been... But Gene Jones the dinner scene. He ate this... Yeah, oh man, I don't know how he did it. I
mean, he probably had like 6 salivary...
like microwave salivary steaks. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And he was going to town every time. And he didn't say a word about it. I was like, Gene, you all right? And he's like, oh, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just acting. Yeah,
Rebecca from the set design, she kept microwaving.
We're all looking at each other going... And he is just, I mean, you see it in the movie. Yeah. He's just chomping away at that. Oh, I can't even watch that. It's making me sick thinking about it right now.
Mm-hmm. I think that was one of my favorite lines when she's talking to you and she's like, I'll make you some Salisbury steak. And I was like, what's the deal with this steak? And then we get that scene with Gene. It's like, oh, that's her specialty. Mm-hmm. That's how she finds her love.
Yeah.
But the point of the diner eating the food is that they do this every day. It's the same thing over and over. It's a sleepy town. George loves his pancakes and fried bananas.
And the coffee, you know.
Yeah. Well, I hope that was a fun last question.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was great.
But guys, thanks. Thanks so much.
Thank you for watching.
That was great. I want to give you a hug. I'll tell you why. You really, I'm honored that you asked the questions you asked.